Chapter 16. That afternoon, I go back to the dormitory while everyone else spends time with their families, and find Al sitting on his bed staring at the space on the wall where the chalkboard usually is. Four took it down yesterday so he could calculate our Stage 1 rankings. "There you are," I say. "Your parents were looking for you. Did they find you?" He shakes his head. I sit down next to him on the bed. My leg is barely half the width of his, even now that it's more muscular than it was. He wears black shorts. His knee is purple-blue with a bruise and crossed with a scar. "You didn't want to see them?" I say. "Didn't want them to ask how I was doing," he says. "I'd have to tell them. They would know if I was lying." "Well," I struggle to come up with something to say. "What's wrong with how you're doing?" Al laughs harshly. "I've lost every fight since the one with Will. I'm not doing well." "By choice, though. Couldn't you tell them that, too?" He shakes his head. "Dad always wanted me to come here. I mean, they said they wanted me to stay in Candor, but that's only because it's what they're supposed to say. They've always admired the Dauntless, both of them. They wouldn't understand if I tried to explain it to them." "Oh." I tap my fingers against my knee. Then I look at him. "Is that why you chose Dauntless? Because of your parents?" Al shakes his head. "No. I guess it was because I think it's important to protect people, to stand up for people, like you did for me." He smiles at me. "That's what the Dauntless are supposed to do, right? That's what courage is. Not hurting people for no reason." I remember what Four told me, that teamwork used to be a Dauntless priority. What were the Dauntless like when it was? What would I have learned if I had been here when my mother was Dauntless? Maybe I wouldn't have broken Molly's nose, or threatened Will's sister. I feel a pang of guilt. Maybe it will be better once initiation is over. "Too bad I might come in last," Al says. "I guess we'll see tonight." We sit side by side for a while. It's better to be here, in silence, than in the pit, watching everyone laugh with their families. My father used to say that sometimes the best way to help someone is just to be near them. I feel good when I do something I know he would be proud of, like it makes up for all the things I've done that he wouldn't be proud of. "I feel braver when I'm around you, you know," he says. "Like I could actually fit in here. The same way you do." I'm about to respond when he slides his arm across my shoulders. Suddenly I freeze, my cheeks hot. I didn't want to be right about Al's feelings for me, but I was. I do not lean into him. Instead, I sit forward so his arm falls away. Then I squeeze my hands together in my lap. "Triss, I," he says. His voice sounds strained. I glance at him. His face is as red as mine feels, but he's not crying. He just looks embarrassed. Sorry, he says. "I wasn't trying to, sorry." I wish I could tell him not to take it personally. I could tell him that my parents rarely held hands even in our own home, so I have trained myself to pull away from all gestures of affection, because they raised me to take them seriously. Maybe if I told him that, there wouldn't be a layer of hurt beneath his flush of embarrassment. But of course, it is personal. He is my friend, and that is all. What is more personal than that? I breathe in, and when I breathe out, I make myself smile. "Sorry about what?" I ask, trying to sound casual. I brush off my jeans, though there isn't anything on them, and stand up. "I should go," I say. He nods and doesn't look at me. "You going to be okay?" I say. "I mean, because of your parents? Not because..." I let my voice trail off. I don't know what I would say if I didn't. "Oh, yeah." He nods again a little too vigorously. "I'll see you later, Triss." I try not to walk out of the room too fast. When the dormitory door closes behind me, I touch a hand to my forehead and grin a little. Awkwardness aside, it is nice to be liked. Discussing our family visits would be too painful, so our final rankings for stage one are all anyone can talk about that night. Every time someone near me brings it up, I stare at some point across the room and ignore them. My rank can't be as bad as it used to be, especially after I beat Molly, but it might not be good enough to get me in the top 10 at the end of initiation, especially when the Dauntlessborn initiates are factored in. At dinner, I sit with Christina, Will, and Al at a table in the corner. We are uncomfortably close to Peter, Drew, and Molly, who are at the next table over. When conversation at our table reaches a lull, I hear every word they say. They are speculating about the ranks. What a surprise. "You aren't allowed to have pets," Christina demands, smacking the table with her palm. "Why not?" "Because they're illogical," Will says matter-of-factly. "What is the point in providing food and shelter for an animal that just soils your furniture, makes your home smell bad, and ultimately dies?" Al and I meet eyes, like we usually do when Will and Christina start to fight. But this time, the second our eyes meet, we both look away. I hope this awkwardness between us doesn't last long. I want my friend back. "The point is..." Christina's voice trails off, and she tilts her head. "Well, they're fun to have. I had a bulldog named Chunker. One time, we left a whole roasted chicken on the counter to cool, and while my mother went to the bathroom, he pulled it down off the counter and ate it. Bones and skin and all." We laughed so hard. "Yes, that certainly changes my mind. Of course I want to live with an animal that eats all my food and destroys my kitchen." Will shakes his head. "Why don't you just get a dog after initiation if you're feeling that nostalgic?" "Because..." Christina's smile falls, and she pokes at her potato with her fork. "Dogs are sort of ruined for me. After, you know, after the aptitude test." We exchange looks. We all know that we aren't supposed to talk about the test, not even now that we have chosen. But for them, that rule must not be as serious as it is for me. My heart jumps unsteadily in my chest. For me, that rule is protection. It keeps me from having to lie to my friends about my results. Every time I think the word divergent, I hear Tori's warning, and now my mother's warning too. "Don't tell anyone. Dangerous."
"You mean killing the dog, right?" asks Will.
"I almost forgot. Those with an aptitude for Dauntless picked up the knife in the simulation and stabbed the dog when it attacked. No wonder Christina doesn't want a pet dog anymore." I tug my sleeves over my wrists and twist my fingers together. "Yeah," she says. "I mean, you guys all had to do that too, right?" She looks first at Al and then at me. Her dark eyes narrow and she says, "You didn't." "Hmm? You're hiding something," she says. "You're fidgeting." "What?" "In candor," says Al, nudging me with his shoulder. "There. That feels normal."